And we are at home all the time. So our electricity is quite high, but it's also our work environment. So see what you can do. Cell phone is another thing that can be a really, really unnecessary big expense. So I just want to, I don't want to say much on this, but just watch yourself. Watch how much time you spend on phoning. I mean, praise God for WhatsApp voice notes nowadays and internet. I mean, it's this is the reason I didn't have a cell phone originally in 1999, because it was just crazy. There wasn't like WhatsApp or anything. It was SMS and it was phone. It was just crazy, you know, the costs. You don't have to have the latest and the greatest. I know it's cool to have the latest and the greatest, but 6 months from now, it's not the latest and the greatest anymore in any case. So if your cell phone is like a temptation to have a smart and a fancy and a really expensive thing, just bring it before God and just check, God, is it really necessary? Or if this part of my image, especially if you battling to afford it. Okay, this could be something where you can save. Bank charges. I just said 100 rand. It all depends on your bank. Please check your bank charges. Please go through your bank statement. You might be shocked to see how much the bank actually asks you to swipe your credit card, to do a transfer. It depends on from bank to bank. Capitec is, I'm not getting commission from Capitec or anything, but they're very affordable. In terms of their monthly bank charges, I think FNB is also. I don't know all the charges for all the banks. Please just make sure. I know it's a lot of admin to change banks. I know it's a lot of admin. I've done it a couple of years ago. But if you can save a couple of hundred rand, it's worth it, and it's going to be every month. Please check your bank charges, but that is something people forget to put on their budget. And then it's like this couple of hundred rand is just gone. Gym or exercise, you have to budget for recreation, eh? You have to budget for a hobby or exercise. Once again, if you can't afford the gym, you must go jog. Or you must ride your bicycle. There's many ways to get exercise. You must do your tummy exercises at home or buy weights at game and you do your weights at home. Do whatever you want to do. But please don't commit to the gym and then you never go. This is such a waste of money. And I'm sorry, but there's many people who do that. Now there's like this monthly commitment for a certain period of time and then you don't even go to the gym. So please make sure about your commitment when it comes to exercise or a club, some kind of club, a tennis club or a cricket club or golf. Also, not cheap, eh? Any sport where you join a club, just count the cost. Think, my wife's having a baby in 2 months. I'm not going to now join the golf club, okay? I hope you're not going to join the golf club. Just think about a commitment that's going to now be for a year or two. These things are normally for a year. Just think about that. There are other ways to exercise. Petrol. I've spoken about that. Okay. Just check exactly how much you spend per month. You need to go to your bank statement or you need to somehow keep track, because you might spend more or even less than what you think. I don't know. And if you feel this is something that you could decrease by joining a lift club or whatever, go for it. Okay, this is something that's a little bit controllable depending on your situation. Domestic worker, it's something that's a luxury, a domestic worker. However, if that saves you time and energy to spend with your family, to spend with God, and if it's an investment in your emotional and your spiritual health, I would recommend that you have somebody who help you in the house. I know you could do it yourself. I know the expectation sometimes from our moms and our mother-in-law and, you know, is that you can do it yourself because they did it. It depends on your scenario. You see, I'm in a position at the moment where I would actually pay somebody for to have more time. Because for me, time is like a commodity that I value a lot. Because my time means, if I have extra time, it means I have extra time with God. I have extra time with my son. I have extra time with Andre. I have extra time for people. And for me, that anybody can clean my house, but not anybody can spend time with my husband. sorry, or with my son, and I have to get to God, you see. So it is something that we could see it as a luxury, but for me, it's quite a necessity because it buys me time. Okay, so I would recommend that if your wife, if you're married and your mom always did it herself and your mother-in-law is adamant, you know, your wife can do it herself, but she's not coping, please get her somebody to help her in the house. You can have a happy wife again, you know. If your wife is emotional and tired all the time, it's not nice. So, however, you could either completely you can have her every day, or you can maybe have her once a week or once every 2 weeks. Okay, so this is something you need to sort out. But I also want to encourage you not to underpay the people who clean your house. Rather get them less, but pay them something decent. Find out and make sure that you treat them. You know, the lady who works for us, she's been working for us for 7 years. She's not well. She should actually retire. She's diabetic, you know, but she is so faithful. And I just felt God say to me, you must take care of her. You must look after, you know, you must look after her well. So I want to encourage you to do that. Pets, just be careful. I said 100 rand. I mean, we have a hamster, Kolikis. He costs me about 20 rand a month, I think. He's low maintenance. Just pets could be a massive expense. Okay, it's a cute little dog, and I want a dog, and now you have the dog, and all of a sudden the dog gets sick, and there's injections, and there's toothache, and now you go to the vet, and it's quite scary how much a pet could cost. So you just need to, it's like a little baby in the house. How many of you have pets? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, you all know what I'm talking about. Just make sure that this is the, you actually want to spend money on a pet. You have to take your pet to the vet if he's sick. You can't just ignore your pet or just give him away. Okay, so a pet could be a big item on your budget, but you need to be prepared. Don't be naive and think you're just going to play with your dog. And when the dog is sick, it's going to sort itself out. Okay, groceries. Groceries is one of those things where you need to kind of keep track, because on my budget, this goes like this in a sense, because it's actually a pot that's too big. There's too many things going into that line item. So it might be good to separate groceries and household items. Household items would be your cleaning, you know, like your jig and your handy-andy and those things. Or even toiletries, you can include them. You need to maybe separate that, because I've seen everything is kind of under control for us, but the grocery pot is a little bit out of hand, because I don't keep track of every little slip, because I have kind of an idea what we spent, but that could be a big pot of uncertainty. Okay, so if you feel this is where the uncertainty lies, because the rest is relatively fixed, you need to go into that a bit deeper. Okay, so now just the last 5 minutes. I want to spend on the savings part. You see this? Then I say short-term savings, 1/5. Remember, that's another 10% of your income. We save for specific items per month, even though we're not going to incur that expense that specific month. It changed our lives. This is where the no stress come in when it comes to our budget. So we budget for... Andre laughs at me because he says our finances must be the most complicated in the whole world, because I have like 20 columns every month, and I put 50 rand there and 10 rand there and 100 rand there, but I save towards all my things, you see. And it really works for us, because this month you're not necessarily going to buy clothes, but next month you want to. And now you can also use last month's savings for that. So I just want to give you an idea for what you could save. We save for giving. This is a very, very important one on our list. And the reason why I say it's savings and not an expense, if I don't necessarily give every month, this is not your tithe. I'm not talking about tithing now. Tithing is right on top of your list. Giving is also, I would suggest, if you say, for example, give every month to a missionary or an institution, you would also put it as part of an expense. That's a monthly commitment. This giving is, I do not know what I'm going to give it towards, but it must be there. It must be, I want to be ready to give. So this month I save three, next month I save another three, next month I save another three, and then I have 900 rand to give to somebody who goes on missions. How awesome is that? And you don't really feel it that much because you dedicate it for that. So what I do is I take the 1,500, I put it into a different account. Now, at our bank, I can just transfer from our main account to a savings account. I can make 10 transfers per day, and it doesn't cost me money. It depends on your bank. Okay, so for me, it's not that much admin. I do it very quickly. I can quickly give 900 and then from my main account and then transfer it back from my savings back into my main account. Okay, I hope I'm not losing you, but I take the 1,500 every month, put it in a separate account, then I have an Excel spreadsheet that says, okay, you have your things there, giving, clothes, holidays, medical, entertainment, car services, capital expenditure. It adds up in my Excel spreadsheet to 1,500, and in the bank account, there's also 1,500. So I literally copy the bank account number into my Excel spreadsheet, and I have a column next to it that says, is there a difference? But you would be able to see also if there's a difference. And then if I spend this money, I keep track of it, and I put it from that account back into my other account. If you didn't draw it from that specific account. Okay, if you have questions on this, you can ask me. It's actually very simple. You just need to find a way that works for you. So we save for giving. We save for clothes. We save, you see, so in the beginning when Andrew and I got married, I felt guilty about everything when it comes to spending because I wasn't sure now, can I buy myself shoes? Because when I was single, I would just make the decision, but now I don't know, will he approve? So then we said, okay, now we must, even though it's one pot, I must have my own money, he must have his own money, and I don't have to ask him then. Okay, so if I budget a certain amount of money for myself, whether it's for clothes or for my skin products or whatever I use, I don't have to ask him. I just need to manage my columns. Okay. I just need to see, okay, I have 5, I can't now spend 1,000. I could, but then I need to negotiate again with my husband for more, which I often do. I negotiate often about extra money for myself. It's allowable to negotiate. Okay, holidays. Holidays is the one where we often overspend. Because there's petrol, there's eating out, and all of a sudden, goodness, these 2,000 rands just gone. So I started budgeting for holidays. Because you go every now and again. So then at least you have a little bit of a kitty built up. Okay. Medical. This is our medical expenses because we don't have a medical savings plan. Entertainment, eating out. Car services can bite you if you didn't plan for that. So we save, and then once a year we have the 2,000 or 2,500 for a car service. We never stress about it because it just gets added up in my Excel spreadsheet, and it's in the bank, the different bank account, and then I just pay it. Okay, because that one is sometimes stressful. Goodness, I must service my car, and it's 3,000, and I don't know what to do. You know, we go through that. Capital expenditure typically would be you're saving for a fridge or you're saving for a television or you're saving for something. We're saving for a wedding ring. I'm telling you, the guys are going to get out their wedding ring soon. I feel it. Okay, other things to save for. It's on your notes, eh? The other things, missions. You can save for missions for yourself. Birthdays or anniversaries when you are married. Also a big thing where we overspend because birthdays is only once a year, but now it's your husband's birthday. Now you want to buy him a gift, but now I don't want to ask him for money to buy him a gift, okay? So we have a column just for birthdays, anniversaries, just for the two of us. It builds up. Okay, now it's my birthday. He doesn't even check the column. He just goes and spends, and then I try to fix it. So it's something you need to think about. This is a once-in-a-year expense. Okay, but in a marriage relationship, the money must come from somewhere, okay? If your husband buys you flowers, the money must come from somewhere, okay? Your child, you know, if you are parents, your child university, we put away something for Vian every month. It's just in a cash. I've fixed it in an account where I get not interest rate is not too bad. So it's not a policy, or like insurance policy or something, because it doesn't always. It's not always so beneficial, you know, to buy something and they save for your child's future. I'd just save for him cash myself. Okay. If you have questions on that, you can ask me later. Skin products, if you're a girl, you must save for that. Hobbies, vehicle expenses. Apart from your car service, like new tires or the renewal of your license, it's now, we paid like 600 or 700 rand a couple of months ago just to get your license thingy, your disc. Yeah. You must save for a baby. You could not must. You could save for a baby or a second child. Very good idea, you know, to actually save. There's a lot of expenses when you have a child. A lot of things you need to buy, especially if it's your first one. Great idea, just to put away some money and to save towards that. Okay, there's a couple of really good resources that I just want to quickly show you. There's this book by Dave Ramsey, A Total Money Makeover. Really good, if you want to get that. This book changed me a lot, my heart, my opinions. It's a book by Randy Alcorn, Money, Possessions, and Eternity. Really good. It's a chapter on how to teach your children on finances. There's a chapter on your will and things that you leave behind. What do you do? Who do you give it to? There's a chapter on church finances and church buildings. You know, there's so many churches that there's buildings that's just built halfway, and now there's no money anymore. It's just a brilliant, brilliant book. There's a chapter on insurance, on medical, on so many different things. It's not light reading. It's challenging, and it's a thick book. But for those of you who are interested in many different areas of finances, personal and even investing, really good one. This one's Very Good Wealth, Riches and Money by Elpert and Craig Hill. This teaches you quite in detail how to budget, how to close your circle, how to live within your means. Really good. And this is just the one, the generosity ladder that that I spoke about in church last week. Okay, questions. I'm done, but if you want to maybe just ask a few practical questions, you're very welcome to do it now. Any questions on something I said, something that confused you, something you want to, yes. Yes, the question is, I said I would rather save money into a bank account than taking out an insurance policy for my child. It's just a personal preference, okay? Because I feel it's what Steve said. You have a bit more control over your money. So it might seem as if you make less, but at least you're not paying somebody else. There are costs involved for somebody to manage an insurance policy on behalf of you. And they always promise you a certain outcome, but that outcome is uncertain. They promise you something based on certain assumptions and things they make. So I just decided when it comes to Vian's like university and thing, because this is what I save towards, I'm just going to do it myself in a savings account, and I don't earn much interest on that. But it's just a personal preference, because I feel I have a bit more control over what, at least I know exactly what I will have within 5 years. We're with an insurance policy, there's a lot of uncertainties. And there's so many stories of people who actually received much less than what they anticipated. Okay, so there's nothing wrong with policies. It is just that you have less control over the outcome. Okay.
Just we had a policy at the stage, and I went and I did the calculations. I looked at how much did we put in, how much would we have received interest. If you like a fixed deposit would be like 6-7% or something, and I worked out what we got back, and we got less back than we if we just had put it in the bank with a normal interest rate. So then I was like, no, I'm over this. They can go jump. We'll just do it ourselves. But you need to then to be faithful, and you need to have self control not to go into those savings. So I want to agree with what Steve says. That you don't make much from it. Okay, listen. Any other questions?
Okay, if there's an unexpected, really big expense, how do you deal with that? I would try to deal with it in my short-term savings. What we sometimes do is we would go negative in one column, but the overall total is still positive. For example, holidays. Say, for example, we've saved 1,000 rand for holidays, but now my holiday costs me 2,000. Then I go negative into that column, but the overall total is still positive. So you could kind of borrow from yourself. Does that make sense? So you actually don't take out a personal loan where you're going to pay interest on that, but you have enough short-term savings, because remember now you must have 20 columns, eh, of savings. That's a joke. you're saving towards quite a few things. So you might have in this, it says 1.5, but the ideal is that you must have like 50, between 15 and 20,000, okay, I would say, in this column. So which means if you have an unexpected 5,000 rand expense, you could borrow from this column and then just kind of pay it back over a year. Does that make sense to you? Okay, if it's more than now, you have 15,000 to 20,000 rand, I would try and stay away from a personal loan as far as possible, because it's going to be a short-term one then, eh, on which you're going to pay a lot of interest. I would try and stay away from a short-term loan at all cost, because you're going to pay so much interest. I would then pray, okay? I would pray. Don't forget that God is really interested in this. It's not us, and He knows. He knows you've saved. He knows you are a good steward. He knows that you're honoring Him. Now you draw from your heavenly account, okay? There's lots of heavenly riches, because you honor God faithfully every month. And you can say, God, this is an unexpected expense. I do not have the money. I will use this, what I have, but please, God, I need you to come through for me. Okay, this is what I would do.
Just to add, I think Dave Ramsey is a specialist in financial management. He also speaks about the emergency fund, which is what Steve also said about the 1 to 2 months of your salary. I think one needs to, you need to continuously work to that point. So if you earn 15, you need to try and get to 30 lying there. So if there's a crisis, then you can just, you sort it. So you're never actually going to be in a crisis scenario. So I think that's where you want to get to. Save.
I just want to add to that, apart from an unexpected expense, you could also maybe have a want, which means you want to buy something and you don't have the money. You can't even save for it. So now you what do? You know, you only have so much money, but you really desperately want to buy that thing. Bring it before God. Bring it before God. Say, Lord, what do you think? Should I have it? Should I not? Should I wait? What should I do? And the moment you have peace that God actually wants to give it to you, then you can trust Him for it. Okay, so whether it's an expense or a want or a desire or a need or whatever it is, if you feel that you're stuck in terms of your own personal ability to save, bring it before God. Okay. Okay. The question is whether I have a spreadsheet for budget versus actual, or how do we do that? Most of our things are relatively fixed. Okay, so I would say 80% of our line items just go off our bank account, like school fees, rent, or I pay it. I physically pay it. So what we do, I am left in my bank account with petrol and my petrol line, my grocery line, and that's basically it. Okay, the rest are all either paid out or deducted from my account. Whatever else is left goes into this saving short term. Okay, so I don't do it exactly correct like I'm teaching you now. So I'm left with a couple of thousand for petrol and groceries. And I make sure that I get to naught by the end of the month. So I kind of check, okay, I have 1,000 rand left for the next 7 days. This is all I can spend. Which means I don't have, I just monitor myself by making sure that I go to naught by the end of the month and I don't go over. Does that make sense? Because we kind of budget a whole salary away. It either goes into an expense or a savings. So I basically just go from, this is my income. By the end of the month, there's nothing left. Not because I've spent it, but because I've dedicated it either to spending or to saving or to giving. So I just go to zero by the end of the month, and I know my budget's balanced. But maybe it's easier for me to do it like that. If you want to go budget, actual for every line item, it's going to take you a bit more time. But then you need to do it on Excel and literally put in the numbers. Keep your slips, add it up. Okay, does that help? Yes, you need to check. So you see, I don't know how your things work. We have a available balance, which includes my overdraft on my credit card, which we never basically use. You see, I only use it when we go, when there's like a timing difference. I also learned to relax about it because in the beginning I was very tense. Oh, goodness, we're 500 rand over. But it's just purely because we put in petrol today and my salary will be put in tomorrow. And because my emergency funds are all lying in a different account. It's not because there's not money. It's just because I dedicate it away. Yes, so if you use your credit card for this, just make sure that you don't misjudge what money is actually available and what is your overdraft availability. That's what you mean, eh? Okay. Okay, yes? The question is, where's my pocket money on my budget? That is all lying in the short-term savings. All right, so that's clothes. That's for me like spending money. Entertainment and eating out. We also have like a column. Say, for example, we get extra money. We'll normally say, okay, you can have so much, I can have so much, and the rest we do something else with. So we each have like a column of pocket money that we can spend. It's the reason I don't put it in my expenses line. I put it in the savings is, this month I would not necessarily spend money on myself, but next month I will. But then I can again use last month's money. Does that make sense? So it's like either the clothes or the entertainment, or you can add pocket money for yourself. We have each our own money. I just put it like pocket money. It's more like yes. We each have our own money that we don't have to ask each other the whole time for money, and then we can just spend it and make sure we manage that within our budget. Okay. Okay, yes. The question is, what is the benchmark for groceries? What is a good benchmark for that? It's almost impossible for me to answer that because different families have different priorities. You see, when I was single, I literally in that year I would spend 300 rand or 400 rand per month on food. That was 1999. But that, even then, it was very limited because I limited myself because, first of all, it wasn't a priority for me, and second of all, I didn't have the money. We've spent a lot more since we got married because for a man in general, food is a bigger priority. You see, it's something you and your spouse, well, that's just a fact of life, huh? It's if you and your spouse, or you between you and God, need to determine that. You see, you can say, I don't buy feta cheese because it's a luxury. For somebody else, it's not a luxury at all. But for her, maybe nuts would be a luxury. So we've just come to a place where, in our financial life, we're adding a 500 rand for something like feta cheese because that's always a big thing for me, you know. Rich people buy nuts and feta cheese and, you know. And I just learned to relax around it because I was very tense about everything I put in the trolley. I was very tense, and Andre taught me to be a bit less stressful about it. So the 1-8 could be 2-5 or it could be 1-2. It's really something you are the only one who can decide what is. It's like spending money on a holiday. What is the benchmark? I can't tell you because for some people, they want to travel overseas, and for them, they would rather do that than buy a new couch for their lounge. You see, so this is where we could not actually judge or, you know, condemn one another because you need to figure it out for yourself. Okay. However, if you are really tight, your grocery items is definitely a line item where you could save a lot of money. You could. You must just make sure that you don't stress so much about I was at a stage where every trip to spa or pick and pay was stressful for me every time, because this is where I grew up. I stressed on behalf of my parents for every trolley they bought, and I had to learn that this is not the way God wants me to live. Okay, so I can't really give you a benchmark. It's something that you need to have peace about and figure out for yourself, and not feel guilty about everything you buy. But if you feel too many luxuries, you know, I always wanted these ice creams, you know, on the stick. And then we were five kids, and my dad said, "No, Sonika, I'm going to buy a 5-liter vanilla ice cream, then everybody can have." And I was like, "I just want a little ice cream." I still have a soft spot for, you know, Magnum or something, because I never grew up with it. My dad just said no. You see, and this is where the wisdom has come in. When there's a household, he could have obviously given it to me, but he can't give it to five kids every time, all the time. Okay, does it help? The question is, why do we use a credit card as a debit card and not just use a debit card? It's just our bank just works like that. Your card, it's like your account and your credit card, everything is linked. It's just one account. It's one card. We have one account. It's a secondary. We have like a credit card and a secondary credit card. It's everything is linked. So we pay just bank charges for one account. So it's just the way our finances are being set up with our bank. Okay, I'm not even sure if they have debit cards. I suppose they have, but then we don't have the benefits of having everything into one account, paying one person's bank charges for one person. It's just our bank, okay, that works like that. Yes, in certain situations, also a credit card is beneficial for certain transactions. So when you go overseas, can you use a debit card overseas? Sometimes. Okay, it's just, for us, it's actually just convenient, and we use it as a debit card. So for us, it's like one and the same thing. Okay. The comment is just that sometimes there's a better interest rate when you have money in your credit card than having something in your debit card. Okay, if that will make any difference to some of you. Okay, I suppose we need to close the session. Okay.
Okay, please stand with me. Okay, so you need now to follow up everything from this morning. You need to have a budget meeting with yourself or with your spouse. But it's really exciting to transition from the place of stress and worry and confusion, don't know where you're going, to a place of there's actually more than enough. You can buy things with no stress. For us, the way, because we're doing it like this, we have all these columns. It's like guilt-free buying. I can go buy my clothes. I've got 600 Rand, more sometimes because I only shop once in 6 months. And then I can buy guilt-free shopping. It's wonderful. You know? So go for it. Start adapting this as your lifestyle. So just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for a download of wisdom. Thank you, God, for a transition of lifestyle for all of us. Thank you, Lord, that we can break free from debt, break free from living in a way where it's just there's a lot of wastage. And thank you, God, that we can live within our means and be truly generous. So, Father, right now we bring every situation, every home, every family represented here before you. And we ask, God, that you'd give us the courage, the wisdom, the self-control, and the faith to transition from where we are now into a place of abundance. So, Lord, we commit this into your hands. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd now lead us over the days and the weeks ahead. Teach us, train us. And, Lord, we pray that the finances that we have would truly bring glory to your name. Thank you, God, that you set us free from stress, set us free from worry and anxiety, and empower us to be generous givers for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.